Hi, this is Angela Middleton, and welcome to my podcast called I Want to BA. The reason for this podcast is that there is a huge lack of careers advice in the UK, and I'm always asked by young people, by parents and by teachers, my views on improving careers advice, and particularly by parents, what should they say to their youngster who's leaving school. I think it is a wider subject. It's not just about what job do you want to do, but it is actually about how you want your life to be. And within that, what type of career you want to select. And that career can just be the first stepping stone. Nowadays, individuals have a whole portfolio of careers. The people that I've interviewed, even at the age of 30, have had four or five careers. Myself, I've had at least five different types of careers. So this podcast is about firstly talking about careers in general and careers advice, but secondly, bringing in individuals who have experienced careers in particular industries, hence the subject I Want to BA, and they can come and talk about the path that they took to actually get to where they are, and also talk about what it's like to actually do that job and have that career. So we'll be covering every type of career that we can think of in the UK, and it will be everything from architects to zoologists. So I look forward to comments, and we'll build things up as we go along, and hopefully it should be of great use to parents, to teachers and to young people. Today I'm interviewing Naina McIntosh. Naina has a really impressive career history in fashion retail. She started off working at a market store with her parents before actually getting a Saturday job with Marks & Spencer. She did do A-levels and then did a variety of jobs before joining M&S as a management trainee. She then went off to work for some other prestigious brands such as Next and Georgia Asda. She was instrumental in setting up the Per Una brand for M&S, and she finally joined M&S again, having been personally asked to do so by the chief exec at the time, Stuart Rose. And when she finished her corporate career, she was working on the board as a director for Marks & Spencer. She's now running her own very successful fashion brand as well, and she will tell you more about that. Naina, thanks so much for joining us, and if you would firstly give us a rundown of your career history, if we could start from where you went to school, and up to where we are now, which is a pretty impressive story to tell.
Okay, right, I'll try and be brief. So I went to my local comprehensive in Brown Hills, which is just in the West Midlands. Whilst I was there, did A-levels, English, History and Biology, and didn't get the required grades to go to university, partly because hugely because it wasn't particularly motivating for me. Yeah. I'd worked since I was about the age of 10. Starting off helping my mum on her market stall in Birmingham, and was given a financial incentive to earn some money to pay for a holiday to Jamaica at 16. So I sent 12 job applications for a Saturday girl. M&S were the only people to ask me for an interview, and I got the job. So
amazing. And so tell us what you were like at school, and also why Jamaica?
What was I like at school? Sporty. Probably gregarious. I was always organising something or doing something. Had a really lovely circle of friends. There were eight of us. And was probably quite cheeky and challenging.
Okay. And how academic were you?
Reasonably, but I wasn't hugely motivated by it. So I was called a backslider in year three. Right. And that probably sums it up.
Okay. And why did you want to go to travel to Jamaica?
My mum is Jamaican. So I'd been at the age of 10 where my parents had paid for me to go. I had a deal with them that when I finished my A-levels, I wanted to go out there for 6 weeks post A-levels, pre-university, and just enjoy the sun. I fell in love with the island as a 10-year-old.
Oh, that's lovely. And what was it like working with your mum on the stall? What sort of stall was it, and what things did you get up to?
Mum had a really, she had a stall that sold leather goods, so handbags, watch straps. She sold jewellery, which was just heaven for me, frankly. Mm. She also used to cut keys and do engraving.
And this was in Birmingham?
Yeah.
And what sorts of things did you get involved with when you were working there?
From time to time I used to go with her on the, if I was off school, because she'd often do her buying on a Thursday, so I'd go with her to do that, and I'd help her price things up and lay everything out on the store, put things away, etc., serve customers. So that was something I was doing from quite a young age, really.
And I can imagine that's pretty hard going, just, you know, from
well, you're on your feet from about 8 till 6.
It's early, there's all weather, you know.
Yeah, it was indoor, so, I have to say it was indoor. Right. I don't think either of us would have done outdoor.
And what did you learn from that whole experience? Because obviously it went on for a few years.
I learned how to talk to people. I learned how to approach people. I learned how to sell, frankly, because that was the name of the game. And I also learned, you know, it's hard work. There's no two ways about it. You know, these are long days.
And you also had some other natural traits as well, sort of interests in clothes making, cooking.
Yeah, I said,
like
I was talking to a group of school children recently, and I talked about, you know, if I were to talk to my younger self or give advice to my younger self, I would ask three things, which is, you know, what are you good at? What do you enjoy? What makes you happy? And if I were to ask that of me, I think what I realised was that from quite a young age, I was making my own clothes, I was knitting my own sweaters, I was doing tapestry and crochet and knit, etc. And what you realise is that was a huge creative outlet, which I just never saw as a career opportunity. I just enjoyed doing it.
You just would do what you loved. So you you did these A-levels because you enjoyed them.
Yeah, I loved English, still do, so I love reading. I liked history, and I did biology because it was a nod to, might I do something that would require a science subject?
So you're leaving your options open at
absolutely.
This point.
Absolutely, I had no real clear idea.
And so when you applied to university, it wasn't because you particularly, you know, had a career in mind. It was just because everybody applied to uni?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the school I went to was practically brand new. I think we were like the second year students to be there. So it was a very young sort of embryonic sixth form group. I think there was only five or six of us in my year group. And without a doubt, there was an expectation that we were all going to apply to university. Mm. So, and I suspect there was a bit of an expectation from my parents as well. Mm. So whether it's what I wanted or thought was the right thing for me, it was what one did.
Yeah. And but you didn't actually go. So tell us what happened.
I didn't get the grades required to go off and do my communications degree, and partly because I wasn't hugely motivated. I could have gone on to night school to redo them, which a friend of mine did, bless her, but I think by that time I'd kind of gained some independence and financial independence, and whilst I really didn't have a clue still what I wanted to do, the thought of studying for another 3 years didn't motivate me one iota.
So you decided to apply for a job. So tell us what happened there.
I did.
So you would have been, what, 18 at that point?
I was 18, fresh back from Jamaica,
yeah,
with all my mosquito bites.
Okay.
And the first thing I did was, well, I need to get a job. So I went off to my local job centre, as they were called in those days. And I saw the only thing I could see where I possibly might have something to offer was a bar job. So I picked the card out of the frame and went off to see the lady at the desk and said, I'd like to apply for this. And she just said, why? I said, well, I think I could do that. And she said, oh, she said, I don't think that's the sort of job you should be applying for some reason. And then explained, well, come over here. And then she explained that they'd got some temporary jobs, some contractor jobs in the civil service, working in what was then called the Unemployment Benefits Office. And she thought I should apply. And I did. And I obviously got the job.
And isn't this, and I just want to pause here just for a moment, because a couple of interesting things you've said there. The first is, you know, you've looked at a job and thought, well, I can do all of that, so I'll apply. And there is some research that actually states that girls are more likely to only apply for things where they believe they can tick the list off and they can do everything.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas boys will look at one or two things on the list, yeah, and think, well, I can do those two, I'll apply anyway. Mm-hmm. Now, whether that still holds out, because this research was a couple of years and it was on a pretty small group, but I find that really interesting. I just want to make the point here that, you know, if you believe that you want to do something, just apply for it, because the worst that can happen is people can say no.
Fake it to make it.
Absolutely, yeah. But anyway, obviously you had a lot of attributes that this person saw, because they encouraged you to apply for something,
yeah,
which was probably more stretching. And then you did this for a few months, and then you saw another position.
A new fairly soon that the civil service wasn't going to be for me. It wasn't particularly inspiring, and it wasn't interacting with people in the way I'd been accustomed to. So an opportunity came to go back to M&S, but in a full-time role. And there was a new store opening, and they were looking for new people. So would I be interested in applying, which I did.
Yeah.
And not long after that, a wonderful lady who was the personnel manager of the store that I was training in just said to me, had I considered joining the M&S Junior Management Training Programme, which I didn't know a lot about. I was aware that they had a graduate training programme, but in summary, this was a programme they were offering to young people who straight from A-levels. And Beryl said to me, I think it would be great for you. So I had to go through the normal selection process that everybody else would have done, which included an interview in a store, then an interview at regional level, and then going down to London for a selection board. And the next day, they phoned the store to say that I'd got the position.
And that then took you around a number of different stores, loads of different departments, yeah, as a management programme would do.
Absolutely.
Where you learned lots of sort of the basics, really, of running a store, didn't you?
Yeah.
And then what happened?
I completed the programme, ended up being appointed as department manager for the homewares department in Macclesfield store.
Right.
And that's kind of where, in theory, if I stayed at M&S, that's where my career would have gone from.
So it just shows that as a result of shining on the management programme, well, even prior to that, that led to you being selected for the management programme.
Yeah.
I know you went through the selection process after that, but being identified to apply. And then actually succeeding on that and being successful in moving up the ranks even further to departmental manager. So you had your 5 years then, more or less, or 6 years at M&S. But then you made a move, didn't you, away from M&S?
I did. There was a new brand that was launched on the UK high street called Next a couple of years earlier. And they were about to launch a new concept in homeware. And they happened to be launching one of the first concept stores in Wolverhampton, which is where I lived. And I applied. And at the time, people were quite surprised because M&S was, and maybe to some extent still is, the sort of company you stay for life.
Yeah.
But I had itchy feet and wanted to kind of see what else was going on, really.
Yeah.
And this was new, it was exciting, and it was a brand new concept. And I guess I knew I'd like to be a part of it.
And you were successful there because, again, you got your job there and then you were promoted and you ended up as divisional manager.
I did.
At the end of 5 years there with Next. And you said to me that you ended up with another really sort of cool incentive or reward as well.
Oh, God, yes. Yeah. When I joined Next, all I wanted to do was a regional manager. And the reason for that, which I know sounds ridiculous, but was that when you became a regional manager, you could have a white XR3i as your company car, which for me was just the coolest thing. So, that was my motivation.
And I think it's interesting, because people with motivation does change throughout. And I don't think it really matters what your motivation is, as long as you know what it is.
Absolutely.
And for some people, it's because they want to buy a particular house or they just want to buy a particular watch. It can be a whole variety of things, but knowing what that goal is really can spur you on, can't it?
Definitely.
So you were successful there, and then you made another move to another very large brand.
I did. Next, the outgoing CEO was a gentleman called George Davis. George was going to set up a fashion brand in a UK supermarket, which I know today we think is de rigueur, but this is 1989. This just didn't happen. And it was a really exciting opportunity. My family thought I was crazy because I was leaving this very sexy brand called Next and going off into the unknown, really. But I just followed my instinct and just thought, I think this could be really interesting.
So you've been brave in your career. You've jumped from big brands each time.
Yeah, I guess so.
And that's born of confidence.
Yeah, I think I have taken a risk.
But I think what's interesting, and we'll see this as your story continues, that you've been a good, what I would call a good leaver.
Yeah.
Because that gives, you had it with M&S.
Yeah.
You were a Saturday girl.
Yeah.
You then go back as a management trainee.
Yeah.
And you can only do that if you leave a company You know, be brave enough to leave, but be what I call a good leaver, which is, you know, you leave with integrity, you do a good job, you do your notice, you keep all your contacts, and then they want you back. So you were at this this great new brand called Georgia Asda, which you were instrumental in setting up from scratch.
So I started off as a regional manager and ended up as the retail marketing director. I met my now husband there. Walmart bought the business, and I guess for me this is an example where culturally you have to decide whether this is the right place for you.
Yeah, and Walmart being a huge, for those who don't know, huge American brand,
almost evangelical in style, and that definitely wasn't for me, and therefore I decided to think about doing something else. George Davis, who had been the founder of Next, had been the founder of Georgia Asda, was talking about doing something different, and we were in conversation, and that's why in 2001, 10 of us sat around his boardroom and boardroom table, I should say, and agreed that we would do something very different.
And you set up a new brand for... And that was called?
That was called Peruna, and that was for Marks & Spencer. It was a very new territory for M&S because it was the first time they'd bought in a, to my knowledge anyway, a third-party brand in fashion. And it was due to launch 9 months later, which was scary in terms of pace, really.
Yes, yeah. I know then that that was, obviously, people will know that brand, the Peruna brand at M&S. And then what happened is that... you were contacted by no other than the chief exec of M&S, asking you to rejoin M&S, and this again, you know, reflects the fact that, you know, this whole point that we mentioned about being a good leaver.
Yeah.
And you then stayed there for another 10 years.
Yeah.
Where you you reached a very senior level on the board, didn't you?
Yeah. So I left Peruna. Stuart, as you say, called. We had a chat. I ended up going back to M&S and joined to be the head of general merchandise store presentation, which was a new role. And within 2 years, was put onto the management board. So Stuart created a management board for the first time in his tenure anyway. And I was one of 12 people that sat on that.
Amazing. And so when you finished there, you were responsible for a huge part of M&S.
Yeah.
Just explain that for us.
It was a fairly mouthful of a title, but basically it was Director of Store Presentation and Design.
And a team of?
Oh, gosh. Just before I left, it was just over 1,000.
Yeah, it's a huge team and a lot of responsibility. It's such an impressive story. And then you've moved on to start your own business. So tell us briefly about that.
I got to the age of 50. For me personally, it was a real landmark birthday. I kind of concluded that you're probably more than halfway through, and I decided to. It was time to do it differently. I wanted to do it, but I wanted to do it differently. And one of the things I allowed myself to do was to listen to this little voice that's been sat on my shoulder, probably for about 20 years, which was saying you really should think about running your own business and maybe even consider launching your own brand. But none of that was really in my psyche when I decided to leave. I took some time out to read, research and reflect, and the net result was an idea that I guess I'd been nurturing for a while.
And this is your own brand?
It is.
And tell us a little bit about that and what the website is.
My brand is called Hope. So Hope is a women's wear fashion brand, unashamedly targeting for 50 plus women, because they are a very important part of the consumer sector in the UK right now, and quite often they're made to feel sometimes quite invisible by other UK retailers.
Can you tell us some of the, you know, the great things about working in this environment, the sorts of things that you enjoy, but also some of the challenges?
I think the things that I've enjoyed are no 2 days are the same. There's lots of variety. I love working with people. I love communicating. It brings out a creative element for me because you're able to touch and handle product. You know, as I've progressed in my career, I became involved in product selection meetings, design selection meetings. So whilst I never purport myself to be a designer, I have a very strong point of view, and it's based on sat in design and product selection meetings. Mm-hmm. So it ticks a lot of boxes in terms of communication, leadership, creativity, teamwork, leadership, and results. I mean, let's be clear: retail is about a results-orientated business. You have targets to meet.
And tell us about some of the challenges.
Well, you know, it's in today's world, it's tough. You know, this is a tough sector to be in. You've only got to listen to the results of most retailers as they're reporting. You know, I said to someone yesterday, I think this is about as tough as I've known it. So I think the consumer is getting more discerning. There are a plethora of brands out there. The whole online thing has given bricks and mortar retailers a real rocket. And fundamentally, it's hard work.
Yeah. And tell us about the, you know, the things that you get up to now. You're running your own business. How is that different? What's the great bits? What's the challenges?
The challenges are, and you know, I've often said this, that a very dear friend of mine said to me that, you know, setting up your own business and working for yourself means you'll never have worked so hard. And I remember laughing and saying, I've always worked hard. The truth is, I have never worked as hard as I do. It's 24/7. You are, one minute you're paying the invoices, the next minute you're watering the tubs outside the office door, the next minute you are putting the collection together for autumn winter 18. All jobs don't necessarily come back to you, because that's why you've got people who work with you, but you have to be able to turn your hand to most things.
Yeah.
What do I love about it? I love the independence. I am a bit of a control freak, so I quite like being in charge. But what I really love is that if I want to go and see one of my kids play hockey on a Thursday afternoon, I can do that. And I don't really need to seek permission or make a big deal of it, because I will more than make up the hours later that day.
So for those that are now interested in accessing the profession, having listened to what you say, and you know, you said yourself that you started off in a normal comprehensive school, averagely academic, you could do it, but you weren't particularly motivated, like lots of different things, didn't go to university, but you had all of those traits for success. And then, you know, you end up through hard work and application, director level of one of the biggest brands, if not the biggest brand, a retail brand in the UK, Marks & Spencer. And now you're on this new journey of starting up your own business. So I'm sure that lots of listeners are inspired because of this. So if they want to access the profession, what would be your advice? Firstly, qualifications wise.
I think the thing that's different today is that there are so many routes in which you can do a degree in this sector. So whether it's fashion marketing, whether it's retail marketing or brand, that can be one route. I think what's interesting is that businesses are now thinking far more about apprenticeships. So that can be another. And the other option is just basically get out there and get some experience and get noticed. Because my advice will be, if you work hard and apply yourself, you will.
So not necessary to have a degree, but if you were going to do a degree, any particular ones that you would suggest?
I think it depends. I mean, one of the things I feel very strongly about retail is that, you know, it isn't just about working in a store. There is a whole back office that supports it. So, you know, whether that's in garment, as I said earlier, you know, whether that's in garment technology or IT or fashion design or digital marketing, all of those skills can be applied to the retail sector. So, seriously, just think, and I, you know, I said this before, think about what you're good at, think about what you enjoy, think about what makes you happy. And because you're a long time in your career and working.
Yes.
And I think it makes such a difference when you're motivated and happy.
Completely. So don't push yourself through a particular qualification, because you don't need to. And you can access via an apprenticeship, which would start as low as level two, which would be a GCSE equivalent. So if you did, even if you didn't get your GCSEs, you can still access this profession from the bottom up. And as you say, just basically apply, and someone is going to eventually give you that opportunity, and then apply yourself and you'll get noticed.
Yeah.
If you were applying now or to access the retail profession, would you start off in a store or would you start on online?
I think it's a really good question. I passionately believe that the most successful businesses going forward will do both, because I think that whilst online provides the consumer with a very efficient way of shopping. And there is an emotional connection to being in a store, interacting with people, touching the product that will never be replaced with online, certainly not in my lifetime anyway. So I think you have to do both.
Yeah. So really, one and then the other, or vice versa. It doesn't matter which
way. But have an appreciation of both.
Yeah. Naina, thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
It's been very, very enlightening. And I'm sure this is going to help people make up their mind that retail is the career choice for them. So thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you.